Hi, friends. It's Mercedes from the Noshery.
And this is Rebecca from Foodie with Family.
And welcome to another episode of My Plate is Always Full, where we're always hungry to talk about food.
I know I say this a lot, but I really, really mean it today. I am very excited about today's episode.
I'm probably not as excited as you are, but I am also excited today to talk about, what are we talking about?
Pickles! Maybe we're just excitable about food in general, but I mean, pickles.
Yes. Today we are talking all about pickles. And why wouldn't you get excited about pickles? I mean, really?
I agree with you. We do have one friend, Christy, for starters.
Well, she's weird.
Well, I mean, aside from
in regards to pickles.
Right. Aside from her inexplicable hatred of pickles, she's brilliant and kind and funny and wonderful.
We love Christy, even though we may not agree with her distaste for pickles. But so maybe today we shouldn't really listen to Christy, but everyone else, let's get ready to get in a pickle. We're getting ourselves into a pickle today, figuratively, because today we're talking all about dill pickles, bread and butter pickles, fermented or half sour or vinegar based pickles, fresh and canned, all sorts of pickled vegetables and all the tangy goodness that goes along with it.
I personally cannot remember a time in my life that I wasn't already a huge fan of pickles. Like, there's no point in my life where I felt a switch flip and I went, oh, I love pickles now. I don't.
That's funny because I hated pickles for most of my life.
Seriously?
Like, especially, yes. Like, as a child, I wanted nothing to do with pickles. I had no interest in the pickle. I picked the pickle out. I was super anti-pickle.
Wow.
I don't really know exactly when I came to finally start to appreciate pickles, but I was well into adulthood. Like, I was probably well into my 20s before I was like, yeah, I can get down with a pickle.
That's what she said. Sorry, I was all ready to say something and then you totally derailed me with that. My gosh, woman. Okay, well, in my pickle history is storied because my grandma was an incredible gardener and she was a great canner and her basement was lined with shelves filled with everything. But most importantly, there was an entire wall of garlic dill pickles. And every time I came over to visit, she knew how much I loved them. She would let me open a jar. I'm pretty sure I never actually shared the jars I opened. I think I polished off a jar by myself at a time. And I drank the pickle juice from the jars.
Okay. So I have heard about people, like I like pickles. I love pickles now. I didn't like them when I was a kid. But I don't know about drinking pickle juice. That's just like next level.
Well, it is next level, but I did admit that I'm sort of a pickle fiend. But there is actually a little cool science behind why you should drink pickle juice if you can tolerate it.
Okay.
It is one of the best electrolyte balancers that you can drink after a workout or if you've been outside in the heat. It is as good for you as Gatorade.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to take your word for it. I'm just thinking about like, I'm not thinking to myself, man, I had this really awesome workout. I went for a hike. Let me pour myself a ice cold glass of pickle juice. It just doesn't really, you know, like.
Now, see, that is exactly what my brain says. And in fact, they sell dill pickle brine popsicles now.
I do know that. I have seen them.
So they're really good. So. Now, admittedly, I have a history with pickles, as I've just said, but I would like to share a little more than just my history with pickles.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that we're going to venture into the history of the pickle.
But of course. Absolutely. Pickles go back thousands of years. We know that they go back at least to the year 2030 BC, when pickles were first pickled, that we know of, in the Tigris Valley.
When pickles were first pickled.
Pickle. There's a lot of pickling going on here today. There's a solid possibility that pickles date back further than that, but we do know that we can actually go back to the year 2030 with them. And pickles are mentioned in the Bible. So without making this an entire Bible lesson, I'll just tell you, if you have your Bible handy, go to Numbers 11:5.
Turn to Numbers 11:5.
And Isaiah 1:8. So we have biblical pickle references. And the Romans brought along pickled vegetables. It was, I think their pickling brine was vinegar and oil and maybe a little bit of honey. And they took those with them as they conquered their little merry way across the globe.
Conquered their merry way. Oh, my God.
I don't know. I mean, how else do I say it? As they, you know, walked around pillaging places, they took pickles. Somehow, pickles seem happier than pillaging. I don't know. It's my own personal association there. But the word pickle that we use now does not date back that far. It dates back to about Middle English and Middle Dutch, so the early 1400s. And it comes from one word.
Sorry.
Yes.
I wanted to say Middle Earth.
It's a hobbit pickle. Right. No, the words come from Middle English pickle, which means a spicy sauce or gravy served with meat or fowl, and the Middle Dutch pekel, meaning a solution that is brine-like, used to flavor or preserve food. So if you picked a peck of pickled pickles... yeah, we'll leave that one alone. While the Bible references how the Jewish people mourned the loss of the pickled cucumbers they ate in Egypt. There's a little spoiler if you didn't look it up in the Bible when I just mentioned that earlier. It's not only cucumbers that get the pickling treatment. And I know you know this.
Correct. Yes. There's so many foods.
So many.
A little pickling treatment bath.
Yeah, for sure.
House situation, you know what I mean?
Well, until really recently, sauerkraut, which is pickled cabbage, was a dietary mainstay in a whole bunch of Central and Eastern Europe. And because of that, I think we maybe need to define what makes a pickle, right?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that would be pretty important to know in regards to this topic that we're discussing.
So a pickle is made when a fresh vegetable or fruit is submerged in an acidic or saltwater brine until it's no longer vulnerable to spoilage or considered raw. So basically, we're chemically cooking whatever it is we're putting into this brine. It's not necessarily a heat-based preservation as much as it is a chemical-based preservation. And there are a couple of methods for pickling that you're probably most familiar with, even if you haven't heard the names of them.
Okay. And are you going to walk us through them?
Yes.
You gonna educate me on some of this pickle deal, on the chemistry of the pickle?
Yes, I'm going to give you a pickle education right now. Have you heard of lacto-fermented pickles?
I mean, not specifically that term. I mean, I'm sure I've probably had lacto-fermented pickles, even though that's making me think of like...
Milk fermentation?
Milk.
No, it does not sound...
fermentation?
Milk pickles do not.
But I know that's
appealing.
Not what it is.
No, that... And I'm with you. It doesn't sound super appealing, but I promise you, you've had them and they may even be some of your favorites. So
I'm sure it has more to do with a lactic... bacteria.
Exactly.
Or something like
ding,
that.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay. So lacto.
Do I get a prize?
You get a pickle.
Do I get a pickle?
You get a pickle. You get a lacto fermented pickle that has no milk in it whatsoever. So these pickles are created when a vegetable, commonly a cucumber, is submerged in a saltwater brine. And during this process, lactic bacteria convert the sugars that are naturally occurring in the vegetables into lactic acid. As a result of that, the brine environment turns acidic as well, and that makes it impossible for nasty bacteria that cause spoilage to grow. Some commonly known lacto-fermented pickles might be the Claussen brand of pickles.
Yum.
Yes. See, I knew this was right up there for you. This is the most common.
And those require to be refrigerated. Exactly. Because of the initial fermentation.
Correct.
Process, right?
And yes. And also because it's not cooked. So this is it's also considered a fresh pickle. And it does require refrigeration after the initial fermentation process. So it slows the spoilage of the cucumber, even if it doesn't render it shelf stable. It also renders it delicious, I would like to point out.
So is this the same? This is the same technique that's used with half sour or full sour pickles that are found throughout New York City, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think Claussen's are technically probably a half sour kosher dill. Now we'll get into...
Okay, so yeah, I was about to say, like, are we going to talk about half sour versus full sour?
Yeah, let's... It's a really easy differentiation, even if you don't remember it for life. A half sour is fermented between 6 to 8 weeks, and a full sour or a whole sour is fermented for at least twice that time.
And typically the half sour has a more of a bite and a crunch to
it. Yep, and it's a brighter green.
Yeah. So oddly enough, I'm not a huge fan of the half sour pickle, or I haven't had a good half sour pickle. I'm not sure what the dealio is.
Right.
But I remember I had one not too long ago, and I don't know, maybe it was just the brine of that particular pickle.
Right.
It was much too sour for my taste.
Well, it's a lot tangier, but one of the things that I think you may have been missing when you ate that half sour pickle, I'm just going to make an educated guess here.
What, like a pastrami sandwich or something?
Yeah, well, maybe that. But I would say celery soda, but I don't want you to start, you know, laughing hysterically and spitting at me. A half sour pickle does not necessarily contain dill or garlic.
Yeah, that was the thing. It just tasted like salt and sour.
Right.
It didn't have any other sort of complexity of flavor or anything like that. Any spices or herbs or garlic or anything like
so
that.
So if you want to get a killer half sour pickle, you want to get one that's labeled half sour kosher dill.
Okay.
And kosher dill in the pickle world basically means it has garlic and it has dill. So
which makes it extra delicious.
Exactly. So in my opinion, all pickles should have that, but that's not the way it goes. So leaving behind the world of lacto-fermented pickles for a bit, I want to talk about another super common type of pickle, and that is a salt and vinegar brine pickle. Now this is...
And this is the one I'm actually familiar with this one, because this is typically what I will do at home is a salt and vinegar brine pickle.
And this is...
Which are super easy.
It's a super popular home canning option too. And this is made when cucumbers are packed in a jar or a container with spices and aromatics and a brine that's made of salt, vinegar, and water that's poured over them. Now, whether or not you go on to can those pickles or whether you're just quick pickling them in the fridge, this is probably the most common type of homemade pickle.
Now, how do you feel about the addition of sugar in a salt and vinegar brined pickle? Because I always add a little bit of sugar, but I know that sometimes there's a little controversy in that.
Yes, in my opinion, when you add sugar to it, you are turning it into a bread and butter pickle.
But see, I think that depends on the quantity of sugar. You don't think so?
In my opinion, when sugar is introduced to the pickle, it becomes a bread and butter pickle or a sweet pickle.
Okay.
That's my personal take on it. That's, angels on the head of a pin. Because, you know, when you break down lacto-fermented pickles and salt and vinegar brine pickles, every other pickle that is made on the face of the earth is some sort of riff on one of those two methods.
Gotcha.
And it doesn't matter if it's cucumber, cabbage, cauliflower, radishes, onions, plums, cherries, and whether it's sweet or sour, savory, spicy, whatever it is, it's a take on one of those two methods.
And the and these are salt and vinegar brined pickles are shelf stable until they're opened.
If they're canned, yes, they are.
Yeah. Otherwise, you need to keep them in the refrigerator also.
Exactly.
That one, I would say the salt and vinegar brine, like we just discussed, falls pretty quickly and easily into the bread and butter pickle.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I would typically add at least a little bit of sugar to my salt and vinegar brine, but I guess any type of sugar or any quantity of sugar makes it a bread and butter pickle. So typically what it is that it is cucumbers or any other vegetable in a brine of vinegar, water, sugar, and spices.
Yes.
You'll typically see maybe a jar of pickling spices, or you can make your own spice blend that might be made up of mustard seed, cloves, juniper berries, cinnamon sticks sometimes. They'll add maybe some fresh herbs like dill or garlic.
Oh, yes.
And that pretty much makes up your bread and butter pickle. They're typically paired a lot with hamburgers.
Yeah, and meatloaf.
You'll see them like the – and meatloaf is where I tend to see them most often.
I love bread and butter pickles, and it's odd because I don't have
really
a sweet
like
tooth.
A snack.
Yeah, but the –
even though they are sweet, they are countered with that vinegar.
Yeah.
So it's not like, I mean, yeah, you don't have a sweet tooth, but it's not like eating a cake.
No, you're right. You know it's not a dessert. It's a pickle. And it has such a savory quality with those spices in there. It's complex. I mean, you never think of a cucumber as being complex, but this is, it's really, it lends a whole lot of character to anything you serve it with.
And the bread and butter pickle, that's kind of a mouthful, isn't it?
It is.
And the bread and butter pickle is the my favorite pickle to use on Cuban sandwiches.
Oh, that is not traditional, Missy.
It is not, but I absolutely love a bread and butter pickle on my Cuban sandwich. I mean, a Cuban sandwich typically will have pickles, but it's typically, you know, like your standard dill pickle.
Yeah.
But I just love that bread and butter pickle on a Cuban.
Well, I feel like that would work really well with ham. So now I'm going to have to try
it
that.
It does. It absolutely does. Next up, we'll talk about my favorite little cutie, the gherkin pickle.
They are adorable, aren't they? They're like little babies.
I just love them. They're ideal. They're great for snacking. They're great for garnishing. They're great on a charcuterie board or served as an appetizer. I just think like they're delicious and they're fun. And they, for a tiny little pickle, they pack quite a bite.
They sure do, typically. Especially if they're the French style ones.
Yes. So the when it's a French style, it's called a cornichon. Mm-hmm. And cornichons are pickled in vinegar, tarragon. They're very tart, so it's a high quantity of vinegar.
Yeah, the cornichons, I think, are just vinegar and tarragon and maybe some salt.
Yeah, I've never actually made, I mean, I have eaten plenty of gherkins and cornichons, but I've never made them myself. And they do, you know, when I say a small pickle, I'm talking about pretty tiny, maybe about an inch, even though they do come a little bit bigger. And they just have a great snap to them. They're a little sweet, a lot of tart. Sometimes they come spicy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll be brined with more garlic or even hot peppers and things like that. They're great with roasted meats and pâtés, like those really, that richness balances really well against the tartness of a gherkin pickle.
And if you've had cornichon, if you've had those French style pickles before, you may actually be puckering up right now thinking of them because they are so tart, but they really do a good job of cutting some of that richness when you serve them with a roast or with a pate, because those can be pretty heavy going unless you have something acidic in there to lighten it up.
I love to use them thinly sliced or sliced up in egg salad.
Ooh.
Yeah, because, you know, the egg, the richness of an egg salad with the mayonnaise and the yolk and everything like that goes really well with the tart gherkin. You know, typically they'll use like a dill pickle or maybe just relish. Mm-hmm. But I really like to throw some gherkin in there, and it's so good.
I'm really enjoying your pickle suggestions today. So now I have to put bread and butter pickles on a Cuban and cornichon in my egg salad.
Highly recommend. 5 stars.
5 stars. Would recommend.
And then, of course, the classic and ever-trusted kosher dill pickle.
Yes.
These are basically half and full sour pickles, like we mentioned before, with a generous amount of garlic and dill.
And I'm smiling nodding because it's delicious.
You'll also see some cooked pickles labeled as kosher dills in the shelf-stable jars in the grocery store, but they won't have the same amount of snap as a refrigerated, true fermented pickles do. But they're still delicious.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, if you like that, like, that big old snap, that crunch, I would definitely go with the fermented pickle that still requires some refrigeration because it kind of it maintains the fresh snap of a cucumber. That just adds to their deliciousness.
It does.
And then finally, but not least, actually one of my favorites, because I love a really good hot dog.
Yes.
Just loaded with relish.
Yes. Oh, but here's the question. Do you like sweet relish or do you like dill relish?
I think I like sweet relish. I never really thought that there was different relishes. I mean, I know there is, but I always go with the typical, you know, if you go to the hot dog roller at the gas station and it has that sweet relish in there, that's typically what I go for.
Okay.
Although I do love also those sweet hot pepper relishes.
Okay, I like those. I like those, but when it comes down to relish, I'm a dill relish girl 100%.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
Right.
I mean,
I'm consistent on that one. I remember one time I went out to eat with my stepmom and I got an egg salad sandwich and it came to the table and it had sweet pickle relish in it. And I thought I was going to throw that thing across the room. I mean, it's a good thing I was raised right. I didn't. But the sweet relish just did not work in my brain in the context of an egg salad sandwich.
I don't think I would like sweet relish in egg salad,
right,
to be honest.
I felt like it was an abomination, honestly.
I mean, okay. I sense you have very strong feelings about this.
Very strong feelings about it.
And now relish, even though we're talking mostly about pickles today, almost any vegetable is turned into some type of relish.
Yeah.
I would say even chutneys are kind of within the relish, like, distant cousin category.
I was going to say, you know what I mean? That is so funny you chose the word cousin, because I was going to say, I would say chutneys are a cousin to relish. I don't think they're technically relish, because a chutney has to be slow cooked over a low heat for a longer period of time than relish does.
Then
it's sort of like the differentiation between barbecuing and smoking, right?
Yeah. So, but they have a lot in common in the sense of, you know, you typically take a fruit or a vegetable with an addition of vinegar, maybe some sugar, and then you cook it down. And, you know, with the relish, you go ahead and you brine it. A chutney, you cook it down. But they have that similar flavor profile and texture.
Yes.
So it's very different in the department of preparation, but, you know, distant, you know, cousins in the sense of how you would use them and how they, the flavor profiles that they might have in the sense of like sweet and tart.
I agree. I agree with you.
So just to summarize what relish is, it's basically chopped pickles that are served as a condiment.
Yes.
You can also use hot pepper relish or any kind of even onions and turn it into a relish. Anything really can be pickled. It can be canned and turned into a delicious relish condiment.
And a condiment that you want to have at the table almost every night. If you've taken the time to can some of it it pays off all year long.
True dat. All right. So can we talk a little bit about some of our favorite pickling recipes and choices?
I think that's a natural next topic. And while my grandma's pickles have my heart, my fave for the last few years have been Claussen pickles or Claussen type pickles. And as a reminder, those are the fresh pickles, fermented ones, not cooked. I love the crunch and the snap of them when you bite into them. And I do have a killer Claussen knockoff recipe on Foodie with Family. I'll throw the link.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I'll throw the link into the show notes. But Mercedes, you have one of my all-time favorite pickle recipes on your blog. That bread and butter, that bread and butter pickled salad. I really want you to talk about that for a little bit.
Well, I made that so long ago. It's one of my oldest, I mean, it's a pretty old post. And I made it actually because I wanted to do something a little different when preparing a Cuban sandwich. Like, Cuban sandwiches always have pickles on them, but I wanted something a little different. You know what I mean? Something that looked more festive. So I did a combination of, it's cucumber, onion, and carrots that I julienne. And then I just do a simple brine of sugar, water, vinegar, and then mustard seed, dill. I have like my go-to spices, but really you can change that up however you want. Lots of garlic. And then I just put it into a really clean jar. I'll typically get a hot kettle of water and pour it into the jar and let it sit in there just to help sterilize it and clean it a little bit. And then I add the vegetables and pour the brine on top and throw it in the refrigerator. And it'll sit there for, well, not very long, actually, because we pretty much eat it up. But it's good for a good amount of time. So that is, and I will use it, even though I originally used it or created it for sandwiches, I will make that salad and that same brine for all kinds of pickled vegetables. So even if I don't want that combination of, or maybe I'm not, I don't have, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. So maybe I don't have the combination of carrots, onions, and cucumber, I might just do a bunch of red onions with that same brine. So that's one of the nice things about pickling, is that you don't have to use a specific vegetable with a specific brine. You are pretty free to kind of change it up and make it your own. Oh, and before I forget, I think I also, yeah, I typically put those little baby sweet peppers.
I love those things. They're so cute.
They're so good pickled. They're just yum.
So when I
don't even know how else to say it.
When I saw this recipe on Mercedes' blog, it was so pretty. And the word pickle was attached, so obviously I had to try it. But I have to say, this has become a regular item in our household, and I do like to put it on sandwiches. But I also just like it on hot dogs. I like it on the side for grilled meats. We love this recipe so much. It's the Mercedes salad at our house.
Oh, I feel so, thank you. Yay.
I like your pickled salad.
Yeah, it's one of my go-tos now. I typically will prepare it quite a bit during the summer when, you know, we're grilling out and having friends over. It's just a great thing that you can just throw on the side of your plate or on your burger or on your hot dog. It's really very, very easy, very versatile, and easy to prepare as well as it is to consume.
Yeah, and believe me, it's plenty easy to consume. And speaking of things that you can stick onto sandwiches and into, you didn't say onto tacos, did you? But I'm going to say onto tacos.
I didn't. I can see maybe putting it on some tacos.
And
I would definitely put some pickled onions on some tacos.
Oh, yes. Speaking of things that you can put on sandwiches and on the side of roasts and onto burgers and into tacos. And I don't think you
on
said
all the things.
I don't think you said into tacos, but I'm throwing that in there because I think it's a natural candied jalapenos, which don't sound like a pickle.
Pickle? Yeah.
Right. It is definitely a pickle because you are making a brine out of vinegar and water and sugar. So It's technically a sweeter pickle, but it's a sweet and hot pickle because you're taking fresh jalapenos and slicing them very thin and cooking them briefly in this brine, packing them into jars, boiling the brine a little bit more so it reduces, and then pouring that over the jalapenos. And you can either stash those in your refrigerator or you can them. I have instructions for this on the blog, and I'll put the link to that in the show notes as well. But this is one of the foods that we go through the most in my house. My husband can eat an entire jar at one meal.
Oh my goodness, that just sounds dangerous and maybe a little
bit. Well, I'm pretty sure that his stomach is lined with asbestos because the guy can eat an entire 8-ounce jar of these candied jalapeno pickles. You know, he just stuffs them on hamburgers, on hot dogs, in tacos. He puts them everywhere.
Wow. My husband wishes that he could, but he always he likes spicy stuff.
Uh-huh.
But then he regrets it later.
Well, I didn't say there wasn't any regret later, but it is offset by the fact that he enjoys eating it so much. And speaking of things that you can put on tacos,
I love to put pickled onions on my tacos.
Oh, yes.
Actually, I just love pickled onions on almost anything.
Oh, me too.
But I really like it on my tacos. I think it's just a great compliment if you have mesquite barbecue type meat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And taco, and with the creaminess of, you know, if you get some cojita cheese on there and then the pickled onions. Oh my gosh. So good. I love it. I love it a lot.
I love them too. And it's a good thing they're easy to make because I go through quite a lot of them. I know we're both actually pretty fond of the subcategory of quick pickles, right?
Yes, why don't you? Absolutely. I love it because I can just get it done, keep it in the refrigerator, and it makes your ham and cheese sandwich so much more interesting.
It really does. So why don't you talk people through making I know they're two of my favorites, and I think they're two of your favorites too. Quick pickled cucumbers and quick pickled onions.
I pretty much, for the most part, I use the same base of my refrigerator pickled salad, and I might just make some tweaks depending on what it is that I am pickling. So for example, I have a recipe where I pickled some peaches.
Ooh.
For a skewer, you know, appetizer, where it has pickled peaches, mozzarella, and I think prosciutto and some basil.
Oh, hello.
So typically I will always use, my go-to is white vinegar, but if I want to change it up, I usually start with my vinegar choice. Mm-hmm. So for example, when I pickled those peaches, I decided to use a champagne vinegar or a sherry vinegar because it kind of would complement the sweetness of the peach.
You are very fancy.
I have my moments. But typically, if I am doing just a real simple pickled onion, or pickled carrots, I typically will stay with white vinegar. So what I'll do is that I will combine in a sauce pot the white vinegar, some sugar, salt, and a cup of water, and I will stir it until the sugar dissolves. Mm-hmm. And then if I want to keep that snap in the vegetable and still pickle it, I will add a cup and a half of ice into that hot liquid, and I'll use that to cool it down.
Very nice.
And then I'll pour that over my vegetables and let them sit in the refrigerator and pickle with garlic, herbs, spices, that sort of thing. So that's typically the technique that I like to use to maintain that initial crunch snap that the vegetable has, but still infuse all of that pickling flavor. But that's the technique that I will typically use to maintain a crunchy pickled onion. But the great thing about pickling red onions, which are very sharp, is that you kind of bring down that sharpness. But the pickling also elevates the sweetness, especially if you're adding sugar to your pickling brine. It elevates the sweetness of your pickled onion, and it makes them delicious. And I keep them on hand to put on all of the foods.
All of the foods. I was going to say, there's going to be a list, isn't there? But the other thing about pickled red onions, if I might just interject for a moment, is that they're just straight up pretty.
They are. They make a great, not only are they delicious, but they make an amazing garnish.
They really do. They're lovely. They're that bright magenta, beautiful pink color. And somehow that doesn't sound anywhere near as gorgeous as they actually are. But when you have a jar of those on hand, you want to put them everywhere, not just for the flavor, but because they're beautiful.
Yeah. I've had them on like my avocado toast, my tacos, I can't think of, except for obviously sweet desserts. I'm not going to put, you know, a pickled onion on there. Right. Am I?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I'm trying to think now if there's any dessert I would put a pickled onion on.
But for the most part, they go really well on anything. And I will make a giant tub of them and just keep them in the refrigerator. And we're just like throwing them on all types of whatever we're eating for dinner. And they're great. Like you can even throw them into a quick like ramen dish or a noodle stir fry or a cold noodle salad or something like that.
Yeah, and they add that if you're adding it to a cold noodle salad or even if you're putting it on a regular tossed salad, like Mercedes was saying, it removes some of that raw bite that you would get from a raw onion, and it makes it, it doesn't repeat on you. You know, you get that beautiful onion flavor without getting sort of the after effects of the onion.
I remember there was this restaurant that I would go to, oh my gosh, like what feels like a millennia ago, because it was when I lived in DC in my early 20s. It was a Chinese restaurant. It's one of the few Chinese restaurants that was actually like a sit down restaurant that I've ever been to. Mm-hmm. You know, typically if you're out in the suburbs, your Chinese restaurants are like a quick takeout or delivery. This one was like a really nice sit down restaurant. I think it was called City Lights Over China, I think is the name of the restaurant. I don't know if it's still out there, or if it's still in DC, but one of the things that I loved about it is that the appetite, you know how like you go to the Mexican restaurant and they'll give you chips and salsa?
Yeah.
So this restaurant would give you like several little plates of pickled vegetables.
Oh.
And it was just so good. It was like pickled onions and green peppers and green beans and cucumber and just all kinds of just these little pickled vegetables.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
So that may have been when I first started to like really appreciate pickling, you know, because I really did not like it when I was a kid. Like really did not like pickles when I was a kid. And actually, oddly, funny enough, my husband, it wasn't until recently that we had been married for several years that he finally started to kind of eat pickles. I would order a pickle and he would look at me like all judgy and say how much he hated it. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he started eating pickles.
Which is both both good and bad, because when you...
Well, now I got to like share my pickles with him.
When you dine out with someone who doesn't like pickles, there's a solid chance you're getting more than your fair share, which is exactly how much pickle I like to have. More than my fair share. But if you go out to eat with someone who doesn't or who does like pickles...
Then you got to share, and that's just
jacked. No fun. As we have established, I don't like to share my pickles.
Well, I think we have picked the pickle to death at this point. We have pickled out. So we're going to wrap this up today. And if you have any questions regarding this episode or any of our previous episodes, please send us an email with your question to myplateisalwaysfull@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on our Instagram or Facebook. We're out there as My Plate Is Always Full. You can find me, Mercedes, at thenoshery.com.
And you can find me, Rebecca, at foodiewithfamily.com.
And you can find us in the podcast with all the show notes and past episodes at myplateisalwaysfull.com. Please like and share, listen, download, subscribe, tell everyone, put out ads. I don't know.
Fly a banner.
Some kind of banner plane situation. Tell everybody, to listen to My Plate Is Always Full. You can find us in all your major podcasting apps. So join us next Wednesday for another episode of My Plate Is Always Full.
Until next time, stay hungry, friends. Join us next week for another helping of My Plate Is Always Full.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe through your favorite podcasting platform, leave a review, and share it with your friends to spread the love.
Wow, there's a bunch of crap under my fingernail. I'm sure you really wanted to know that. I had to not like poop or anything, but I had to air up my tire on my car because I got the...
I mean, I'm probably not as excited as you are, but I am also excited.
And drunk. You're also drunk. You know, I say pickles and I go way back. We really do. My grandma was an incredible gardener.
God, it took you like 5 minutes to start.
I'm going to start that again, actually, because I'm so blown away by you getting down with a pickle.
Oh my gosh, what are these things called? Of a fresh...
I'm going to let you work on that for a minute. Hold on. Cucumber.
Okay. It's like, I forgot them. It's like, what is
you called? Know you're having a bad day when you can't remember what a cucumber is called.
I can't even remember cucumber.
Oh okay. My gosh.
I'm dropping my microphone okay. As someone pulls up next to me so that they don't see that I'm talking on a microphone in my car. It looks weird enough.
You're having your own karaoke I'm moment fine, in the I'm car.
Fine. It's all fine. Don't worry about the lady in the
what
car.
What a feeling! I was about to say, we have tickled enough pickles today.
Oh, dear. Maybe you want to rethink that analogy.